How far is the rendezvous?
Not far. We studied the map. If we can return the way we came and get the droids to follow us down a passage, it will empty into the clearing.
We'll have no problem with the droids following us, Obi-Wan said grimly. No time like the present, Rygol said. I was getting tired of this spot anyway, Ciri said, wiping the blood off her forehead with her sleeve.
The Jedi gathered themselves for the next phase of the battle. They were exhausted, but they had reserves of strength they had not tapped. Ferris and Dara had given them a way out, and they were ready. They rushed out together, lightsabers drawn. The prototype droids moved toward them, the front line blasting heavy firepower at them. The Jedi kept on the move. The two masters were careful to ensure that Suara and Rygol were protected at all times. With his shoulder injury, Rygol could only swing the lightsaber to one side, and that was painful. Suara's limping progress was remarkably fast with the help of her makeshift crutch. They reached the shelter of the passageway. They had just a moment to catch their breath. The droids wheeled in formation and followed. They ran, letting the droids keep them in sight, but staying out of blaster range. Ferris and Dara led the way. They snaked through the passageway and came out into the clearing. The droid platoon was behind them. Sheer Rock was ahead of them. How is the MTT going to get in here? Obi-Wan asked. Ferris turned pale. There was a route. Dara looked around wildly. Where is the passage? It should be there. She pointed to an area that appeared to be a wall of boulders. Rock slide, Rygol said. See the markings there? We're trapped, Suara said, glancing around quickly. We'll have to fight them in the open. She gripped her crutch with one hand and her lightsaber with the other. Anakin will reach us. Obi-Wan's voice was steady. Through sheer rock? Suara asked. The droids poured into the clearing. The Jedi stood ready to face them. Ready to face death. Whatever came, they were ready. Dara's hand trembled slightly as she held her lightsaber, but she moved resolutely to cover Suara's injured side. A tremendous noise shook the canyon. The huge boulders on the side of the canyon began to tremble. Suddenly, the battered MPT burst through the wall, scattering boulders like pebbles as it mowed through the canyon and headed straight for the droids. The front of the MTT was almost completely bashed in. The engines belched smoke. But the lumbering craft still moved with lurching power as it mowed down most of the entire droid platoon. What it didn't cut down immediately was reduced to scrap by blasting proton cannons. Obi-Wan had no doubt who was at the controls. A loud banging rang through the canyon. The battered and bent hatch on top of the bridge popped open, and Anakin emerged. He waved. Yes, Obi-Wan said. He will get through sheer rock, if he has to.
Chapter 20.
The Evani had planned a bloodless invasion. Once the Jedi returned to Albendo in the captured MTT and confronted Dol Heep, their plans were foiled. They did not have enough firepower to defeat a roused population.
A complete misunderstanding, Dol Heep boomed. Invasion? Hardly. We came to help Radnor. The battle droids were merely here for crowd control. So sorry about the malfunction.
He eyed Suara's injured leg and Rygol's blaster wound.
However, I can see why you are so testy. Since there is no danger from the toxin, the Evani will be happy to leave.
We will be happy to escort you, Obi-Wan said firmly. But first, restore all communications to the planet, Ciri added.
We had nothing to do with the communication breakdown, Dol Heep said in the same hearty tone. But out of the charity in my heart for the Radnoran people, I will speak to our tech experts and see if we can help.
Within minutes, communications were restored. While Rygol and Suara had their wounds tended, Ciri contacted the temple. The Senate ships were ordered to return to Coruscant. They suspected that there had been a sabotage of the engines, but there was no way to prove it. The Radnorans would file a protest with the Senate, which would most likely get mired in debate and details. The Ivani would not pay for their plans for some time. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan contacted the remaining security officers on the planet and ordered them to quickly spread the word about the safety of the planet. Radnorans could return to their homes. "And put Galen into custody immediately," Obi-Wan added.
"He already is," the officer replied.
The Jedi arrived at the Takto prison and were shown to a holding cell. There, Kuri faced her brother across a battered metal table. "She held a blaster on him for 2 hours," the security officer murmured to them. "She told him she would kill him if he tried to escape, and I guess he knew she meant it." The Jedi stood in the doorway. Kuri looked ravaged by pain and exhaustion.
"You have been a traitor to your planet," she said in a flat voice to her brother. "And you have broken my heart."
"I had no choice," Galen said. "Don't you see I had to do what I did?"
"No," Kuri said, shaking her head.
"You refused to deal with the Ivani. That made no sense. We dealt with anyone with the credits to pay. And so they threatened me."
"You could have told me."
"They told me that if I told you what they wanted, if I told anyone, they would destroy our business."
Galen went on rapidly.
"I had to agree to show Dolheep the weapons plan we were developing. That's when the toxin was released. He did it before I could stop him. I got us both back to Clear Sector before it took hold."
"So you could have brought the toxin back and endangered Takto as well," Kuri said. "It is just luck that you did not."
Galen ignored this.
"Dolheep contacted his superiors. He told me that if I kept my mouth shut about the half-life of the toxin, they would pay us money and relocate us." "Don't say us," Kuri shouted suddenly. "This is about you, Galen."
"I did it for us," Galen pleaded.
"They said that if I didn't do what they wanted, they would say that I was the one who released the cloud deliberately. I didn't know what to do. They asked me for the research records and for the access code to our prototype battle droids." "And they paid you money for this," Kuri said bitterly.
"They paid you a small fortune to betray me and yourself and your planet."
"I didn't know they were planning an invasion." "A child would have known they were planning an invasion," Kuri shouted.
She stood and leaned over the table.
"It is all excuses and lies. It always has been. I've never seen you so clearly. You brought me into this business. You made my life what it is. I made weapons to destroy beings and planets. I found money to fund your research into the terrible, cunning ways beings can kill other beings. I sold these weapons and put the credits in my pocket. I helped bring these things into the galaxy, and I will never get the smell of death out of my nostrils. No matter what I do now, no matter where I go."
"Kuri, don't. I need you. They're going to imprison me for years."
"You are lucky they don't kill you."
Kuri turned and walked out the door. Galen turned furious eyes on the Jedi.
"You see what you've done? You've poisoned her against me."
Obi-Wan shook his head.
"Your planet is in ruins. Your family is destroyed. Thousands are dead, and still you blame others. You have not learned anything."
"There is nothing to learn," Galen shouted.
The echo of his words followed them as the Masters and Padawans walked down the hall. They walked out into a bright morning. The devastation of the city of Takto was revealed. The mobs had burned and rioted. Businesses were destroyed. Houses were barricaded. All air transports had been destroyed and looted for parts. But now the Radnorans were busy returning to their homes and businesses, The sick were being cared for. The dead were being mourned. The Radnorans of Takto are refusing to help any in Isolation Sector who have survived, Ferris said.
And they blame the Avani for everything, True said. They do not look to themselves for blame.
Just like Galen, Dara said.
Tell me something.
Are all missions this hard?
No,
Sawara said. Some are harder. Neighbor turned on neighbor when the disaster occurred, Obi-Wan said. This could have been an opportunity for generosity and sacrifice. Cowardice and violence erupted instead. This city was destroyed by greed and fear, not by a toxin. Not a good sign for the future of Radnor, Ciri said.
Yes, I won't be surprised if we are called here again someday, Rygol said.
The Jedi moved through the devastated streets toward their Senate transport. Obi-Wan swung into step beside Anakin.
I am proud of you, he told him. Not only did you act bravely, you worked well with the other Padawans. I heard how you all collaborated on the final plan to rescue us. You have learned a valuable Jedi lesson. You submitted your own will to listen to others. As a result, you gained strength.
I was ready to rush after you to fight the droids, Anakin admitted. It was Ferris who stopped me. He was right.
He was also lucky, Anakin thought. The plan had almost gone awry. If Anakin had not managed to blast through the rock slide, 4 Jedi Masters and 2 Padawans would be dead. But no one was bringing that up. Was Anakin the only one thinking it? Obi-Wan would say it did not matter. What had happened had happened. Jedi did not waste their time on ifs. But Anakin couldn't look at it that way. The ifs were what intrigued him. The spaces between the rules. If Ferris had been more lucky than right, had submitting his will been the right thing after all? He knew the question was not a Jedi question. He would not ask it of Obi-Wan. It was his question. Only he could find the answer. So am I right? Do you feel you learned the Jedi lesson of submission of will? Do you understand the importance of the lesson? Obi-Wan asked. Anakin had to stop himself from giving away his unease. He would not lie to his master. But had he truly submitted his will to Ferris? If he had to be honest, he would have to say no. But he submitted his will to True. Anakin recalled how in the exhaust system of the MTT, he had realized that True should be the one to lead. He had realized then how necessary cooperation was to the success of a mission. That had been the moment he had truly learned the Jedi lesson.
Yes, I have learned the lesson well, he answered. He was happy he could be truthful.
Obi-Wan nodded in satisfaction and turned aboard the transport. Anakin started after him, but Ferris suddenly appeared at his side. Anakin had not sensed him nearby. It's not the Jedi way to lie to your master.
Neither is eavesdropping, Anakin said, annoyed. And I didn't lie.
Ferris studied him. The sunlight shone on the thick gold streaks in his dark hair. He did not look angry or accusatory, merely thoughtful.
You did not tell the truth, he said. You did not truly learn the Jedi lesson. You didn't learn anything. You were like Galen.
That isn't so. Anakin kept his voice steady. And it is not your business. It is my master's business what I learn.
Obi-Wan doesn't see you clearly, Ferris said softly. He is a great Jedi master, but he is blinded by affection.
But I see. And I will keep looking.
I will watch you, Anakin Skywalker.
Ferris turned and strode up the ramp. Anakin had to stop himself from hurtling after him and tackling him to the floor. His body shook with rage.
Take a breath. Then another.
Anakin willed his beating heart to slow. Slowly, the red mist before his eyes cleared.
I will watch you too, Ferris. And if there is a battle between us, I will win.
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars: Jedi Quest, The Way of the Apprentice by Jude Watson.